Wednesday, March 12th, we'll call at 6:30. We'll call the Judiciary Law Enforcement meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Dan Esposito? Ron Johnson?
Yes.
Boyd Frederick?
Here.
David Arrington? David Arrington? Anita Johnson?
Here.
Angelina Montebrò?
Here.
Doug Noble? Doug Noble? Nicole Hyatt?
Here.
Michael Barolio?
Here.
Thank you. No citizens' comments. 6:31, we have citizens' comments. Any citizens wishing to speak? You can sit up at the front of the table, 5 minutes. State your name and address for the record. Citizens' comments. Seeing none, citizens' comments are closed. 6:31, supervisor comments. Any supervisors have any comments at this time? Seeing none, that is closed. Chairman comments, 6:32. I don't have any at this time. So it's 6:33, moving on. We have the approval of the minutes of February 12th, 2013.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion approved by Supervisor Boyd Frederick, seconded by Supervisor Montemurro. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Those are approved. Number seven here. We have a resolution, Kenosha County Sheriff's Department. First on the agenda is the probationary cabaret license for Kickstand Bar and Grill. First, I'd like to see if Captain Weinberg, can you come on up here and kind of give the committee an overview of the situation at hand? And I believe Mr. Miller is here?
Yes.
All right. We might have you step up here in a minute, sir. Thank you for being here, by the way.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
Excuse me, let the record show, Supervisor Noble's here, please.
I'm not positive if you have a copy of the redo. Yeah, I guess you do. This was simply drawn up by myself in anticipation for consideration on the committee's part. I realized that it was sent back for review after we had a little incident about a week after that the regular cabaret license was issued, or in the process of being issued prior to going to the county board, where it was open, the tavern was open after hours. I simply did this just as an option. Obviously, the committee has plenty to discuss on the matter. I can answer any questions that you like. But in the report, apparently Deputy Sanchez was on his routine patrol and was within the kickstand area or parking lot and noticed that the place was open, or at least looked like there was patrons in there 45 minutes after it's been closed, or supposed to be closed. After going inside and talking to those people that were in there, apparently they all told him they worked there, which there was some doubt to that issue, and eventually Deputy Sanchez wrote Mr. Miller a citation for being open after hours. The problem there is, obviously, we had just gone through the week prior the authorization of the regular cabaret license, which had not gone to the county board yet. So it was a week prior after we met. What I put together here, simply talking with the chief deputy, was just an option, like I said, for an additional 6 month probationary period in lieu of the violation. However, whatever the committee decides, I can amend and we can redo it, you know, whatever you come up with.
Any questions for Captain Weir? Supervisor Johnson?
Is that pretty typical of what you would do, just a probationary period for something
like
this? Well,
under the circumstances, the kickstand, which has been in business for quite some time, had to go through the probationary period again for not filing on time for their cabaret license. In this case,
this previous owner.
Was it?
Yes.
Okay. In this case, though, we're talking about 6 months probation that would make sure they abide by all the rules and regulations, etc. We do the inspection, and that's exactly why it's there, so we can get a feel for the issuing of the regular license. In this case, the fact that it just had happened, I think the thing is curious, that the regular license was just basically approved by this committee. And when Deputy Sanchez was in there, I think there was some reason for him not to believe what he was being told by the folks in there. They were all telling their employees, which of course, after hours open, or being in there after hours does not violate the ordinance. But from his, what he was seeing, people were drinking, obviously didn't feel that they were all telling the truth, and issued the citation. So, yeah, that would be unusual. I have not seen this too often. I have seen it in the past, though it's not the only occasion, but it does not happen too often, whereas places open after 2 o'clock.
Supervisor Montanaro?
I realize, especially since Mr. Miller's here, that he understands this now, but if something like this happened again, obviously that would especially turn it.
If that was the route that you decided to go, yes, I would agree with that. That would be a secondary probationary chance, and I would come with a whole different recommendation if you had a violation of any sort.
More serious, right?
That's correct.
Okay, just making sure.
Supervisor Noble?
Has the, normally, have they used this cabaret license?
Yes.
You have been using it?
I had hands, I had karaoke, I had everything.
And you haven't had any problems related to the license?
You know, the people who were there was my security, which was Jason, my bartender, which was Jenny, and Jason's cousin, and then me. When he came in, the register was closed, the money was put away, everything was closed up, we were finishing closing. Cars were outside started, that's why he said he stopped in. We were just getting ready to leave, when everything was put away. I did say that everyone was an employee, you know, to him. And then I said, you know, Caleb's Jason's cousin.
So, did you pay the fine?
No, I got it in my pocket.
I personally feel that...
I'm going to pay the fine because, you know, after reading it, the law, she shouldn't have been in there because she's not an employee.
I personally feel that if he pays the fine, that's the penalty for that. And this would be double jeopardy if we denied it. So if the recommendation, Chief Deputy, is to do another probationary license, I'm totally fine with that.
I'm good with that. Because you know, we've been close on time all the time. I mean, we had a band this last weekend. Everyone was out of there on time.
Well, I think, Mr. Miller, we're not here to put a monkey wrench in your operation. I want you to understand that. You know what I mean? That's not what we're here to do. But, you know.
Well, a law is a law. I understand.
Unfortunately,
that's why I was, you know.
Situations happen. I can appreciate that. You know what I mean? And I appreciate you being here tonight, taking it seriously to be here. And Supervisor Noble, do you have anything else?
No, thank you.
Other supervisors have anything? Well, with that, I think that we should, again, Mr. Miller doesn't seem to have a problem. I think we need to move forward with the recommendation for Chief Deputy and Captain Weichert and use this probationary cabaret license. And we'll see what happens in the next 6 months for a permanent one. You know, that being said, motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Second.
First by Supervisor Nita Johnson, second by Supervisor Boyd Frederick.
I need to go to one
question. Sure.
I mean, he wrote the ticket up. I mean, I got it in the back pocket. He wrote it up for the wrong date. He didn't write it for the right date. If you look at the ticket, he wrote it for 10-12.
10-12?
Yeah, it's,
this looks like it's 2-12. At 2:44 a.m. This says to, I don't know if your carbon is bad, so you're looking at
10-12-14.
Yeah, that's down here. This is the violation. It was on 2-12-14.
Wait, I know when the violation was.
There must have been an error in his.
Was it January?
But I mean, yeah, I don't.
Yeah, Mr. Bell, I don't think that's relevant.
There's two dates on it. One of them apparently is the wrong one.
I just want to make sure that you guys know that this ticket is printed wrong.
Not relevant to our board.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it's
this
more of a legal issue.
This is the line that you didn't be worried about anyways, and this is 2-12-14, 2:45, which I believe is the date, correct?
Well, they got that 10-12.
the 14 on there too. Like I said, it doesn't matter.
Like I said, it's not an issue at this hearing anyways.
Thank you. With that, I have a motion to approve by Supervisor Anita Johnson, second by Supervisor Boyd Frederick. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Mike?
Yes.
One opposition.
Good.
Thank you, Mr. Miller.
Thank you.
Thank you, Captain White. Moving on, it is 6:41. We have the 2014 Wisconsin OJA Multi-Jurisdictional Drug Task Force Grant Southeast Sea Dog.
Evening, Mr. Chairman, Supervisors. My name is Sergeant Horace Stevens. I'm in charge of KDOG, the Kenosha Drug Operations Group. And we're today to go over the CDOG grant, which is the Southeastern Area Drug Operations Group, which consists of Kenosha, Walworth, Dodge, Jefferson, and Racine counties. We received $211,792 for this consortium. Our portion for Kenosha County will be $53,140. And basically, this money will be used for drug operations, purchasing equipment, overtime, training, and also helping out these other agencies within our consortium. So if Walworth needs our help, we'll be more than happy to provide them with equipment, personnel for their drug operations, as well as Racine, Dodge, and Jefferson counties.
Sergeant Staples, I'm sorry I didn't know that you were coming forward. I was going to send your name. My apologies. Because we know we like you here. You're one of our favorites. Quick question. This is an annual thing, correct?
Correct.
Roughly? I mean, I don't know if it's every year, but
it's annual. Yes.
Okay.
It's annual.
Okay. Does anybody, any members have any questions for? So basically, obviously, it's geared to drug enforcement.
Right.
You know, and that type of activity, I would assume.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Any supervisors have any questions? Is that, Mike?
Sir, I was just kind of wondering if there's any given like contingencies on how this money is spent. I maybe it deserves a little bit of a better read through from me, but
yeah,
so
actually,
it's my understanding that the county would get $53,000.
Correct.
So is that more of a just like some sort of categorical grant that we could spend at our discretion, or does the state give us any sort of a?
It's listed here: training, equipment, personnel, as well as helping out other county agencies. Mostly spent on equipment. It's broken down, itemized there.
So what kind of equipment would that entail?
Investigative equipment.
Investigative?
Yes. Can't go into a lot of detail about our investigative equipment because basically trade secrets. If we're doing an undercover investigation on drug dealers and users, we go into what type of equipment we're actually using.
Anything else, Mike?
No, that'll do. Thanks.
Sergeant Staples, so obviously this is $211,000 roughly, you know, and this is split up in what counties that basically align each other? Or?
Correct. That participated in this consortium. So
okay.
It's kind of all of us down here in the southeastern section of Wisconsin.
So it's what, us, Racine, Walworth?
Jefferson and Dodge.
Okay. So,
yeah.
And do we get, is that split equally or it depends on?
Actually, Racine gets a little bit more than we do.
How's that fair?
I have.
Oh, okay.
Maybe they have more problems.
Okay.
I
don't know. Right. They have more problems. Okay. I was just curious, you know what I mean? I mean, it seems like a good program, you know, obviously, to combat drugs that are on the streets, no matter where you're at, I guess, whether you're in Racine, Kenosha, Walworth, so on and so forth. Any other committee members have any questions? Supervisor?
Sir, I just have one question. Mm-hmm. In the front page, it says that any extra money will be turned over for subsequent years. But mm-hmm. did I just hear you say it might be used for the other people?
That $211,000, it's all split up.
Right.
Yeah.
But if we have extra left over, we don't give it to Dodge.
No.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you said it was used to help others in that consortium.
Within our
just
our
in
pot.
Kenosha.
Within our pot.
So
if our guys need to go over to Racine, we'll pay their overtime for their investigation over there. So that's how we're helping
right,
out.
But if yeah. we have anything left over in a year, it doesn't go to Racine.
To another county, no.
Okay,
no.
I'm just... Okay.
I would assume it comes back and carried over in our budget?
To our pot.
The state reimburses us, so we only get the funds by submitting expenditures.
Oh, okay.
And if there's so, any leftover unspent money, it's sitting in the state.
Anyway,
that offers not doled out.
I understand. Thank you. Okay.
Any other questions? That we have a motion to approve.
Motion approved.
Motion approved by Supervisor Anita Johnson, seconded by Supervisor Boyd Frederick. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you, Sergeant Staples. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
That moving on, it's 6:47.
It'll end up with Donna.
Great. We have a resolution from the Administration Service, the Division of the Kenosha County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Department Bureau of Emergency Management, 2014 Exercise Grant, Wisconsin Department of Military Affairs, Homeland Security for the Kenosha County Active Shooter FX and FS Exercises. Lieutenant Bent, I just heard this last night.
I know. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Committee members, thanks for having me tonight. I'm here to present and ask that you accept this proposal to receive an exercise grant from the Department of Military Affairs for $18,501. The effort is to conduct a functional exercise this year and a full-scale exercise in 2015. The exercise specifically deals with active shooter in the school. Now, as the committee knows very well, it's one of the biggest issues the country's dealing with. And certainly something the entire county can benefit from. My plan is to bring in entities from around the county, county agencies, City Unified School District, West End School Districts. Anybody who's willing to play a part, I want to bring into this so they can all benefit from it. We started this effort probably last year about June with a tabletop exercise. And this effort will follow through with HC, which is the requirements that FEMA dictates is necessary to be valid. So we started with a tabletop in June, saw where our shortcomings were, where we need to improve. We've already made some movement in that area. And I think it was those improvements that pushed the scales for us to win this grant from the state. We were in competition for not a whole lot of money's left in the state as far as Wisconsin emergency management goes, but we were lucky enough to get this. And it will bring this to a conclusion in 2015, and I think agencies between city and county will benefit from it. It'll allow the county to be prepared in the eventuality some disaster like this occurs.
Lieutenant Beck, can you speak to the aspect of what we talked about last night, potentially that you want to get, this is going to be moved forward in stages, and then there was going to be an active thing in 2015?
Can you speak to that? Yeah, maybe if I can explain that a little more. Not everybody, and it took me a while to figure out this Homeland Security Evaluation Program that FEMA has created. And the idea is we don't just have a big play day and we all make believe and try to benefit from it. It leads to chaos, wasted time, wasted money. FEMA has structured training and it has to follow a sequence. It follows with discussion, a tabletop scenario where they all talk around and discuss, say through the scenario, and they try to find shortcomings and where you're successful. And then you move on to the next stage, which is a functional. That's not where we actually move. That's a situation that's timed, it's scripted, and it's evaluated. In other words, we write a script, just like we're playing a movie, and we time it just as though it's actually happening, but we don't roll the trucks, we don't get the personnel out there. In other words, it's low cost. But what it tests is command and control. So, lieutenant from the fire department might be there with his group in one room, the lieutenant or captain from the sheriff's department might be there in another room, and they're actually communicating on a radio or a telephone or runners with little notes. Heard shots coming from left wing of the school at this many hours, and then they're evaluated. What are you going to do about it? Where do we go from here? So it tests those command and control structures in our system. It's evaluated by observers. Then we see where we were short, you know, where we had some shortcomings, and we see what worked. Or we observe what worked. And then we move from there with an after-action plan. It's quite an involved document. Usually they run about 40 or 50 pages long. It's not a simple task. And this is one of the reasons I requested the grant. As you know, I'm new to emergency management, and I don't have the expertise to do this, nor the time, because I have other duties in that office, to do this myself. So I sought these monies out to bring in a consultant from the state who will do all of that for us. They're the ones who do all the scheduling, they create the scenario, they write the after-action reports, and they submit the reports to the state. They do it time and time again, very efficient at it, and they give us a great product. And based on that, I thought this would be the best avenue to get that done. So to continue, after the functional, we have what's called an after-action report. We make improvements. It isn't though we read an after-action report and say, yeah, now let's do the real thing. No, we have to make some corrective actions. We have to improve a communication. We have to improve a frequency. We have to set a protocol on how to resolve stuff. Then we move on to the functional, the full scale. In 2015, and that's when we bring in the people, we bring in the actors, the volunteers, the fake blood, roll the trucks. They know it's they all know it's a test, but they have to act as though it's real. And they go in with simunition, and we bring in the SWAT team, we bring in the fire department, and they do it. They make it happen, and we see how effective it was. It's costly. It takes time, and again, it involves an after-action report and a long document that has to be submitted to the state. But after it's all said and done, there's value there. Every agency that participates learns a little bit, and if something does happen, at least they know, kind of have an idea in their heads how they're going to respond to it and what to expect.
And it's, correct me if I'm wrong, we've invited the different schools to get on board with this too, correct? Administration there or so on and so forth?
Right now, the initial was with county schools, mm-hmm. And what my goal is with this, when I get the approval, if I get the approval, will be to bring in Kenosha Unified. I've already sat at their safety committee and told them about it and my efforts, and they're gung-ho all on board. In fact, they said, if you don't get the funding, please come back and we'll see what we can do about raising some money for it. They were, Mr. Manji was very enthusiastic about it. Kind of thrilled to take it to the next meeting if I get the opportunity to go forward. So.
And is there any statistics that this happens more so in a middle school versus a high school versus an elementary school? Or
I don't have.
Will we get something out of that or no? I'm just curious.
I really don't know. I can see. I'm sure those statistics are out there, and I might be able to find some for you given time. But
yeah.
I don't have them with me tonight. My own personal experience from, you know, going to these trainings and studying these things, it can happen anywhere, more than likely from a middle school to a high school. Those seem to be the most ones we see.
Yeah.
The most troubled youths who take this kind of an act, rarely from a grade school, but it has happened, but mainly high school and middle school. Yes, ma'am.
Do you think it will become widespread? Because if it's such a great idea, do you think other schools in our counties and even other states will want to join?
In our exercise? Or generally?
In general.
I can tell you this, that this effort, in fact, Lieutenant Weicker and Lieutenant Urquhart with the Sheriff's Department SWAT team are already working together with some of the county fire teams to create a protocol. Some of the new designs, some of the new techniques talking about there's some new ideas coming into this problem that society's dealing with in the United States, and you know, without getting too much into the weeds on it, there's some new ideas and we want to be in the forefront of that. I can tell you that Captain Weicker and Lieutenant Urquhart are working on one of those procedures so we can test it. It's called the warm zone extraction. briefly if you want me to go on. It's we all have heard of the techniques where we all wait, we all wait. We wait till everything's surrounded and we run in, and when we feel the SWAT team's all there, they go in. Well, the new thought is we don't have time to wait. People are getting shot, people are dying, we can't wait. Now the idea is get in there and create a warm zone, what's called a warm zone, a safe area. If we can get in and create this safe area where we know this area is safe and protected, let's bring them rescue people in. Get those people we can save, load and go. Get them to help as fast as we can. Patch the hole and get them to the doctor or get them to a triage center where we may be able to save them. And that's what we're working on now.
That's great. Supervisor Johnson.
I just want to say a couple of things. First, I just want to commend you for getting the grant.
Oh, thanks.
It is. It's an art. Writing grants, it's an art form. You have to be very good at it because it is very competitive. Money's very limited for almost all grants these days. Unfortunately, I was so excited to even see this, too, because, you know, you hate to need it, but it is something that is really needed these days. And you're right. I mean, we're seeing programs like this widespread now, more commonplace than not, which is sad, but it's wonderful that you're putting it together, and I'm very happy that you got the grant, very happy.
Thank you. Well, I'm glad, this ma'am, that you brought that up about this effort in particular, because it is a good point. This new idea that we talked about, warm zone extraction, is not just in Wisconsin or Kenosha, it's happening all across the United States. There's school agencies and law enforcement are working on it and refining these protocols everywhere right now because of what they're finding out about these situations. And there's the old adage, you either plan or you plan to fail, and we need to have these plans set up so we can do the best we can if this ever hits here, and we have to be ready.
Any other Supervisor Montemar?
Well, I echo, this is a phenomenal thing. I'm so glad you're doing it. But I like the idea that when you first get your feet wet, it's kind of a dry run because it costs less. But
right.
Then the next time you can fine-tune it. And I really like that you're bringing in more people, because if, God forbid, it happens, even if one person forgets, the next one might
exactly.
not. And the more that know about it, the better.
The better.
And yes, exactly. And then it can grow from there. So
yes.
That's great.
Any other supervisors got any questions? Lieutenant Ben? Seeing none, we have a motion to approve.
Motion to approve. Second.
Motion approved by Supervisor Nina Johnson, seconded by Supervisor Montemaro. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you,
Lieutenant Ben.
Thank you.
Date 29, any other business left? Why not? Adjourn?
Motion adjourned.
So, second.
Motion adjourned by Supervisor. Thank you, Mr. Supervisor Boyd. Thank you. I'll look for the
river.
Hi. Hi. Thank you.
The most beautiful thing I've ever seen.